Welcome to the Tradar, a Traitors podcast. I'm Matthew. I'm a writer who spent the past few years working in TV development and podcast production. This podcast is dedicated to the TV phenomenon worldwide, the Traitors. But for this season, we are heading back down under. Does down under count as New Zealand and Australia or just Australia? I'm going to say down under and hope that I'm not wrong.
I mean,
For season three of Traitors New Zealand. Sorry, New Zealand people, if that's the wrong thing to say. And we are recapping every single episode. We're analysing the strategy, the tactics, the gameplay, and joining me is kind of a different co-host every time, but you may have noticed a pattern that for every second episode this season, I'm being joined by reality TV guru David Bloomberg. He's here already. David,
I
how are you
am.
doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have been off to Wales, so I am just very recently back on a train and ready to talk about the Traitors once again, of course. Now, David, you must tell me what you thought of episode five. Catch me up on your thoughts.
I said I was worried about Jill, and clearly I had good reason. During the episode, I really thought they fooled me. I thought they might take out Aroha and give Jill a fighting chance, but then common sense kicked in and they did the right thing. Not the right thing
Yes.
for Jill, but the right thing for them. But damn, Jill really got screwed over by Brad's poor gameplay. I mean, we talked about it last week, but he just dug such a big hole that was absolutely unnecessary. He went after Keanu and Jill for no good reason, made it so obvious that it was traitor on traitor in his final roundtable. I don't think there was anything Jill could have done to dig out of that situation. Do you? And I know,
Not,
I don't want you
no.
to recap the whole thing that you already talked about episode five. But
I don't think so. Because even though I thought she gave a shot of trying to put the
right.
blame on someone else and try and come up with this theory. Well, here's what I think the Traitors were trying to do. They were all supposed to come for me. I just think Jill didn't have the social capital to get away with that. I think people had made up their minds. It was
Yeah.
too late to convince them otherwise. So.
I don't know that anyone has the social capital to get away with that. When you, I mean, it was just so obvious with what Brad did. And I think we'll see more of that this episode,
Oh,
you know,
well,
some
yes.
ongoing dominoes falling here with
Right.
someone who does have a lot of social capital and, spoiler alert, still can't get out of it. So
Right.
I don't think it matters. I maybe Keanu could have gotten out of it, but I'm not even sure he could have.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I just don't think there was a whole lot she could do, if anything at all.
Yes, and I'm sure we'll get to it, but I agree that I'm not saying it's all Brad's fault, the outcome of this episode, but
I am.
Brad
I am.
started something that, yes, like you said, created a domino effect
Yeah.
that, falls into this episode as well, as we shall see. Actually, David, I think you later on in the pod, you've got a question from one of our listeners, so we're going to come to that soon. I actually don't know what the question is, so I'm excited. I want to find out. I think we are ready to go ahead and dive into episode six. So, episode five, of course, we had our Jill banishment, and the traitors opted to murder this time rather than recruit again. They were looking at either Mike, Maruya, or Aaron. And coming into breakfast today, Harrison arrived early, very excited to find coffee, which I think might confirm this idea that there's not an awful lot to eat for everybody. And maybe if you come in last, you are going to be disappointed. So Harrison's very excited. Yes, coffee. This is just this weird thing that happens throughout the traitors all over the world. And he's joined by Maria and Dave. And of course, they're reflecting on Jill's banishment, specifically what Jill was saying about Harrison. She was targeting him and calling him the puppet master. Another much loved phrase in the world of the traitors. They like to have a
Yes.
puppet master. They like to have a head of the snake. They like to have a head of the traitors and so on. I'm sure we'll talk about that. And Maria and Dave seem to happily accept that was just ridiculous. And they're with, at least they're trying to make Harrison feel better and just saying, yeah, that was just crazy. Why did Jill say that? Maria then brings up the Araha votes last night. She just doesn't get it. It seems like it's all connected to the fact that Araha was emotional when Brad was banished. And so a bunch of people have picked up on that and think, oh, it was guilt. She was crying because she was guilty. She's a traitor with Brad and she felt so bad that he was going. And yes, Araha has been under the spotlight, but actually, I'm jumping ahead, but this
Well,
episode sways away from her a little.
yeah, I think so. I think it does. I mean, it could circle back around, but I think it was flimsy at best for her. And the fact that they got out a traitor, often in people's minds, that vindicates the other person. Even though it still could have been two traitors, it like said, well, see, I was innocent because they were guilty. No, it's not an or situation, necessarily. Often is, but not necessarily.
And the I think ba banishing a traitor successfully leads a lot of the faithful to feel their convictions must they're always right now, and we got that one right. That it gives them a false confidence boost, which then
Oh, yeah.
sometimes causes trouble for a faithful who actually isn't a traitor at all. Araha then arrives at breakfast right after this. She's with
Yeah, now
Keanu.
this makes me think, by the way, this just popped into my head. I think I now know why they always knock before coming in.
Oh,
It's
okay.
so people can stop talking about them. And I think it would be so much more fun if they didn't knock. Like if they
Yeah,
just popped
just
the door open to see what
peep
everybody's
in.
faces were like, because I mean, it happens obviously during the rest of the time in the mansion, that people can walk in. And we saw that when Debbie walked in as someone was talking about her. But I mean, I was playing an online game years ago and where you could switch rooms. And someone who I didn't know was gunning for me. I popped into one of these online rooms just as he said, and then we all need to take out David. And
Wow.
then there I was, and everybody's like,
Yeah,
and
not you, a different David who's
And so what happened was I used that information to flip everybody against him. Now, unfortunately, this game had a twist, and at that particular vote, the twist was that you could drag someone out with you. So, of course, that person dragged me out with them. But it was still funny that I just popped right in there, just literally as he was mentioning my name. I want to see that at breakfast too. Like they're all talking about Aroha, and boom, there she walks in,
Yeah, that would be good fun. Yeah, I wonder if they're told to knock on the door. I don't know. Everybody just does it now. And she's with Keanu, who looks very different without his cap, I have to say. Talks to the others about how he doesn't really want to go along with group voting. He just is refusing to do that. Or at least he won't be pressured into voting for someone
Yeah,
who he doesn't personally feel.
he doesn't want to be told what to do.
Of
And
course, yes.
we already saw that. We discussed that last time I was on, that he didn't like it when Jill told him to go after Brad. And he wasn't going to do that until 12 hours later when he decided on his own, fully on his own, to do that. He said, bring me the evidence and let me decide. And I'm just upset he didn't say, bring me the data points.
Yes, he should have. Yes, missed opportunity. And it's obviously we know he's a traitor and it's all a big act, but I think it's working. I think the other players find him very genuine and believable. So, he's obviously the last remaining original traitor, so he's doing a good job. And I guess we're well, technically past the halfway point, And he's still around, so it's
Yeah, and it's
working.
funny because as part of the conversation that's ensuing right after he gets in there, as he's talking, Dave says he's sick of people saying someone can't possibly be a traitor because they're such a sweetheart. And I'm like, that's appropriate that Keanu just happened to be in there for that because I think that. And I'm also thinking it's too bad he wasn't able to tell the cast of the Traitors US this past season, you
Oh,
know.
yes, absolutely. It would have helped. And Aroha is still upset about last night, and Hannah points out something that I think is very observant. She says, if Aroha was a traitor and the votes last night looked like they were going to be divided between either Jill and Aroha, Jill would have just voted for Aroha to help save herself. Now, the answer is probably that Jill just wasn't thinking very strategically and was probably never going to do that. But I think Aroha should keep reiterating that to people to say, hey, just so you know, she didn't vote for me on the way out, so maybe that says something. But she's also herself reading the situation completely wrongly and is now certain that Harrison is a traitor and that Jill was trying to take him out.
I mean, I am often the first one to say if you are in two people, you have to vote for the other one, you know, as we saw with Ryan. So in this case, I understand what I believe Jill was thinking, which is okay, let's say she switches and manages to beat Aroha by one vote. Well, now she has to explain why she switched. When she was so steadfast that it was Harrison, and they're just going to knock her out the next time. So I understand. I think what she was hoping, which may have been her only hope, was there would be enough other people voting for Aroha that Aroha goes and she says, "See, I told you guys it's Harrison." And maybe that buys her another week, another day, and you know, instead. So, like I said, there wasn't a whole lot she could do. And yeah, if it had come down to her, you know, losing by one vote, I would have been like, ooh, bad move. But I can sort of see what I believe, you know, without, you know, doing my mind reading trick here. What I believe she was thinking.
I wonder if Jill also had just accepted her fate and given up and thought, I'm not going to win this vote anyway. It doesn't matter if I now change to
I mean, that
what's going
could
to
be
happen.
too.
Maybe she just realized this is pointless. I'll go ahead with Harrison. It's not going to make a difference. I don't know. Next at breakfast, James and Sam arrive. And James is feeling pretty confident. In fact, he repeats what he said yesterday, that being a traitor is kind of easy. It's, or at least easier. He's saying you've got the full picture, you have all the information, you know who's a faithful and who's a traitor, and there's less to be anxious about. There's less unknown. So actually, it makes just existing in the game every day feel a lot more comfortable. And there's chat around the table about recruitment and people are asking each other how they would respond to it. Would you accept it? Would you reject it? This
Of
is
course, I would never accept it. No, never. I mean, that's the only appropriate answer
Of
to
course,
give.
yes.
Now, I do like James's attitude that it's not harder to be a traitor because we hear from so many traitors, oh, it was so hard. It was so hard. Try being a faithful in the game, you know, because you have knowledge. Yes, you have to lie more, but you also have all the knowledge, and they have none.
Absolutely. It's quite I'm finding James very really funny. Like these confessionals just because I guess we didn't know that much about him up to episode four. And suddenly to see and except that he seemed like a quite quiet, gentle guy that seemed I think everybody gets on with, quite softly spoken. And it's just so funny to see this he's playing the game, just this completely ruthless side to him, which is, well, it's a game and here are the facts and yeah, it's much easier and I don't feel that bad about it. I'm enjoying it. another group arrives. We've got Chloe, Aaron, Violette, and that means already we know that Aaron has survived murder. He was one of the
Right.
three, so he's
Begin
arrived
this
a little
again.
earlier.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah, they're really mixing it up. And Chloe is, she's reflecting on something that came up at the round table, that this idea that there is a group, there's a clique within them, and she's part of it. This magical group is Sam, Chloe, Violet, Keanu, and Harrison. But Chloe sort of like, I don't care. I don't care if people think I'm part of a group. Violet doesn't really care either. The group thing become it's quite a talking point in episodes 5 and 6. And
Yeah, and her point is, Chloe's point is that, yeah, I mean, I don't trust everyone. The problem, Chloe, is that you trust the people in your group because one of them is a traitor. And in any given group like that, it is almost certain that at least one of them is a traitor. I think we talked about this in the, yeah, we talked about this in the Traitors US podcasts that, yeah, they're, you can trust them all, but you're going to be wrong at that point.
And I think she's trying to say, no, I'm sort of above that. Like, I can vote for someone in my own group really easily. And she is about to do that. But I think maybe
Yeah.
what the other people see as a problem with it is just, well, you're just a big voting block and we feel a bit
Right.
outnumbered by you. And we don't necessarily believe that you're going to vote against the opinion of the group. So, yeah. But Chloe tells Violet she has a big scary play today. She's going for one of the group. She's going for Harrison. She wants to swing big. Violet, on the other hand, is still very much focused on Aroha. She's convinced she's a traitor. And we're awaiting our final players. Oddly, so we Aaron has already come in, but Debbie isn't here yet. So,
Right. They switched things up. It's very strange. It's like the night editors and the morning editors don't talk to each other, you know?
And so it means that the players who are here are wondering if Debbie's going to be murdered. I mean, we can be pretty sure as viewers that she's not. We think it's between Maruya or Mike. And Aroha even makes this joke that, yeah, well, Mike's kind of annoying. I don't care if he goes. And knock on the door, dramatic reveal. Debbie arrives, followed by Maruya. So Michael is gone, meaning, as Maria points out, he gave us his money that he won.
Yes.
Poor, but he could have had $7,500. He chose to come and play the game a little longer. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he regrets it. I think he kind of might be.
I mean, he said that he did in the moment. I bet if we were able to talk to him now, I would bet he would say, no, I don't regret it. And if I were in his position, I would say the same thing. I talked about it at the time that he got a chance to play, you know, and that's what he wanted. So I think the problem, there are other problems, but this is related to the listener question. So I'll address the other problems later.
Okay, great. We do flashback to last night, and the traitors reiterate that they think Mike is too smart, and they've got this, they've cooked up this plan. We heard them talk about this last night. That, well, it's Keanu's plan. They noticed that Mike defended Harrison at the round table, and so they're attempting this double bluff. They're going to kill Mike to make everybody else think Harrison did it deliberately, because nobody would obviously think that Harrison killed off someone who defended him. So it's this
Yeah,
illusion they're trying to create.
this is quite the, you know, expecting people to connect the dots in a very specific way here.
Yeah. And even though Harrison does end up in a lot of trouble, we don't ever see anyone discuss
No.
the reason being Mike's murder. So I don't know if it made a difference, but Mike was
I
probably a good option to
suspect
kill
not.
anyway.
I think, yeah, that's what I was going to say is I think that probably they just are like, yeah, he was a confirmed faithful. Everybody knew, so.
I think we probably knew that Michael wasn't going to last long anyway, so it feels like this is sort of an inevitable murder that I was kind of just waiting for anyway in one episode. It doesn't seem like a huge shock. It was gonna come sooner or later. So, and we get a short clip of James saying yes, he's happy to go along with Keanu's decision this time. What do you mean, James? Are you implying that you may wrench control from Keanu? Who knows what's coming? Michael gets his letter. Yes, he wonders, oh, maybe I shouldn't have given up the money and so on. And admits he has no idea who the remaining traitors are, which I thought was very interesting. Back to breakfast. Keanu, Aroha, Hannah have this little joke about how every day Aroha will make a sarcastic joke about the murder victim and accidentally predicts who ends up going each time. And they show us some little flashbacks to her saying things about people. Madeline arrives. She has her chat and gives them their clue for the mission. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but sticks and twine make delightful kindling. Get ready to channel your inner mountain goat. I'll meet you at the top of Mount Horrible. I really want to know if it's actually called Mount Horrible. I'm sure it isn't, but.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, we should look that up. Yeah. We just never get around to it, you know.
I'll choose to believe the fantasy rather than ruin the illusion. And we then are straight off to the mission. There's no reality content in the house, which I guess in retrospect should have made me realize they must be squeezing something in, something else later in this episode, which of course they end up doing. But it just
Well, I think it's.
naively just thought, oh, off to the mission. Okay.
I think it ends up being two things because also the round table ends up being very short, what we saw of it. I think it's the we have to squeeze something in at the end. And by the way, this round table is obvious. So it would have been interesting if this had not been an obvious round table, how they would have handled that. Like maybe then you postpone the death match to the next episode and handle it there. I don't know.
Or just really minimize what we see in the mission. It's a very physical mission. But I feel like we get quite a lot of it. We do get some content in the cars on
Perhaps
the
too
way
much of
there.
it.
But yeah, perhaps. Chloe's talking. Hannah gets in the car with Chloe and she says, Chloe says, welcome to your first stretch in the car, darling. And it just made me laugh. I just love that line. Your first stretch in the car. And we see Harrison telling Maruya and Aroha that he knows he's in the line of fire tonight. Even Aroha, who's there with them, says, yeah, I've kind of got some questions about you. So she just tells him to his face, I may be voting for you tonight. It's because of Jill voting for him last night. People, and we referenced this 5 minutes ago. Because Brad, I guess, singled out Jill on his way out and they went for that and it worked. I think they're just on a, they think they're on a roll. And they're like, well, let's follow the next one. Who did Jill vote for? It was Harrison. We'll get another one. And it's wrong, but they're carried away with that idea, which I
I mean,
understand.
Harrison doesn't do himself any favors when he says, well, I don't even know who to go for.
He.
Don't ask other people that, you know, you gotta figure something out, or else you're just toast.
You have to mount an attack as early as possible if you know that you're in big trouble. And if not, and if other people aren't talking about an obvious name, you're going to have to be the one to do it. And Chloe actually is similarly in her car talking about Harrison. And then we get this really emotional part of the episode, which I knew a little about from Chloe's posts on Instagram. I've been reading. She reflects on the death of her partner a couple of years ago, and she's wearing this t-shirt dedicated to him. It's really moving, and it's part of her motivation in the game. To she's got her son who's really young, so it's a very emotional episode. There's lots of crying and really, really sad moments. So I feel like we
And
got.
she lost him in a rugby game. He was playing a rugby game, and she said, what was it? She said something like he got tackled and didn't get up or something like that. It's like, holy crap. How often does
Awful.
that happen in rugby?
Yeah, really difficult. So I feel like we're getting to know Chloe a little more here, but yeah, really upsetting. And the other players, Sam is in the car getting upset just listening to this. It's awful.
Yeah, and
And
it, I mean, it makes me worried about her in the game. I'm like, are we getting all of this emotional content because she's about to go? And I'm like, well, it might just be because today was the day she wore the t-shirt. you know, and
Yeah,
that's
that's
when
true.
it happened. But yeah, it did make me worried about her, especially when we get to the round table and
Right.
I believe Harrison ends up bringing up her name. I'm like, oh no, you're not going to do it on
Yeah.
today of all days, are you?
It could be bad for Chloe. We arrive at the mission. Madeline greets them. We're in this incredible mountainous landscape and tells them that she's been up all night crafting effigies to them to commemorate their inevitable failures. But the effigies have been ripped apart, scattered down this huge steep hillside. They've got to gather the pieces and reassemble them, but
She
they have
must
to
have
carry them.
Mount Horrible must have been hit by the same storm that hit me.
Oh, yes, that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah. I sent you some pictures from the neighborhood, by the way.
Oh, okay. Looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah.
Or maybe I shouldn't be looking forward to seeing them. I shouldn't say
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay. But you're safe and sound. You're in one
I
piece.
am safe and sound and have power and internet back, obviously, but
Yes.
Yes, despite the fact that this podcast is going to come out very quickly after the episode, it was actually planned for earlier until the storm took us out.
Yes, Storm Horrible struck.
Yes, yes.
They have 30 minutes to complete this mission. They can only carry one piece of their effigies at a time up the hill. Each complete effigy earns $700, and that makes a total of 9,100. And the people who complete theirs, first, third, and 12th, win a shield. I wondered if this was either totally random or is it to sort of compensate for something we've discussed on the podcast before? This question of maybe older players like Debbie, like how do we balance up really physical challenges and make it just as achievable for someone who's not as physically able? So I wondered if that's why they put that in there. It ends up not making a difference, but.
I do think it is. I like this way of giving shields. I would have preferred instead of like first, third, and 12th, make it like first, fifth, and 12th, something like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Because then it's not all about physicality, and there's some about strategy and game awareness. Like you could actually hold off, which we see one person considering doing. It's
Yeah.
like, oh, should I wait? Should I not wait? What should I do?
Yeah. But hey, for Debbie, it's a struggle. It's not gonna happen anyway.
Yeah.
She pretty quickly it seems like she just sits down and is like, I'm not going to do it. This is not going to go well for me. So poor Debbie doesn't really get to take part much. Keanu, Dave, Aaron's super into fitness. By the looks of his Instagram, they're out in the lead early on. We could really see how steep this hillside is. It looks really, really tough. Even for, Aaron is used to doing all of these sorts of things and he is sweating bringing up these pieces of the effigy. And during the mission, we do get a little bit of chat between players that could be significant. We hear Harrison talking to Violette, and he just says, he says, I know I'm fucked tonight. And she says, well, I'm not going to vote for you, but Chloe is, and I think Chloe
Yeah.
is leading a big charge against you. And I'm pretty sure Harrison then says, confirmed traitor, talking about Chloe. And we don't get any more of that conversation, but I'm sure that's what he's so yeah, I wonder if is Violette gonna remember that next time and say, oh, Harrison told me that he reckoned Chloe was probably I don't know.
Yeah, by the way, while we were talking about how terrible Mount Horrible was, I looked it up and there is a Mount Horrible in New Zealand. Can I guarantee it's this one? I don't know. But according to the very quick thing I saw, when European, like mappers or something were there, one of them, because of the steepness to it and everything, one said to the other, "How was your day?" And he said, "Horrible." And so they named it Mount Horrible because of that. I don't know if you
Well,
believe whatever random thing, pops up when you look it up, but there also appears to be a Mount Awful
oh,
in New Zealand. So,
well, season
yeah,
four.
that's
Get to
right.
that mountain.
Right.
Maybe they're
So
keeping that
they're
for the
just using,
finale.
yeah, they went to all the different thesaurus synonyms there.
Yeah. I wonder if there's like a Mount Nasty, Mount Vile, Mount. I don't know. Mount Hideous. I look forward to finding out more about them. So yes, Aaron completes his effigy first. Keanu's second, but then tells us he misunderstood the instructions. He thought
Yeah.
second place got you a shield. And it's actually Maria and Dave who are competing for third place. Maria has a moment of hesitating and
Yeah, it's not so much
considering.
competing. Maria easily had third place. It was just a matter of, do I want to take it or not?
Yeah, I don't know why. She's like, oh, maybe I'll just let Dave have it. I thought, no, Maria, take the shield.
I think different people have been talking about Dave needing it. You know, that I
Yes.
mean, I know Dave has talked about it,
Oh,
and I
yeah.
think others have as well. But
Yeah.
so that she's like, no, I'm gonna take it. And then
Yeah.
Dave and Sam act like, oh, I can't believe she did that. How did that happen? Why did she do that? Because she wanted a damn shield. What do you mean? Why did she do it?
Yeah, I don't understand why Dave thinks he needs it more, because Dave
Because
has
everyone always thinks
received,
they need it more.
of course, Dave's received
Yeah.
more roundtable votes. He's had votes at more than one round table. I'm pretty sure Maria has not had a single vote at the round table. So actually, surely that suggests Dave's slightly more in danger of being banished, and therefore the
Right.
traitors would want to keep, you know. I mean,
And
my
if they
conclusion, if he, yeah.
sorry, if they knew what Maria was saying in confessional, they'd really come after her because she had all three traitors pegged.
Yes, she's on it. And I wonder if there's more to that, because I was asking these same questions in episode five. Like, why does Dave think he's at such risk of murder? Maybe there is more going on in the castle that we just aren't seeing in the
Right.
edit. If you, there must be some more obvious reason. Is it simply that Dave is quite popular? He's seen as a leader figure. He's quite vocal. So they've all just agreed, oh, Dave, you're in danger because you speak up a lot.
But I don't know that they've all agreed that. I think that
Yeah.
his pals have agreed that. And again, I think it's what did we call it before when various people did it? It's the
Oh, like main character syndrome.
main character syndrome. Yes, I think that Dave has a lot of main character syndrome. And so I've got to get the shield or else I'll get murdered because it's about me.
Yeah,
It's
it could
not all
just be
about you,
that.
Dave.
Yeah. So they I did notice something really great in the New Zealand accents in this mission, where they were looking for the heads of, well, they may be laughing at my accent for all I know. They're looking for the heads of the effigies, but they say, I've got to find a head. I was like, a head? A head. I'm looking for a head. So hello, New
Well, that's
Zealand, I
like,
love you.
I still remember from New Zealand Survivor when the host would talk about them being in a close competition and he would say, they're neek and neek. Yeah, neek and
Nick and
neek.
Nick. Oh, I love it. It's great. New Zealand, I'm not making fun
But,
of you. I am admiring you.
well, and the other thing about accents is, I obviously, in talking to you as frequently as I do, I have gotten used to your accent. But when there was the clip of the podcast last time I was on, of your new podcast where you're talking to like your former students, who of
Yes.
course are Scottish. I'm used to yours, but when there was another Scottish person on there, wow, it was almost overwhelming the amount of Scottish accent hitting me at one time there.
Yes, that's a nice reminder. I'll tell people more about my new podcast at the end of this.
Yes.
Yes, you were listening to a clip of Jenna, who's a very funny storyteller, but yes, very Scottish. So this mission ends. They've raised $7,700, and Aaron, Maria have won shields. No one gets a third shield because they didn't complete all 12 of the effigies,
Right.
so only two handed out. And Madeline yells. She calls in one of the ghouls. Ghouls, let him burn. And I thought, oh, Michael's back again.
Yeah.
But not this time.
No.
That would have been great. Hey, guys. I would have
You thought you
slightly
got rid
ruined
of
the
me.
illusion. Yeah.
Yes.
They head off back in the cars. We have a little bit of
Yeah.
Madeline's voiceover revealing that the game is about to take a new turn. What's going to happen?
And then Dave again continues to say things that annoy me, where he says the shield was snaked from under me by Maria. It wasn't, she beat you. She was
Yeah.
faster than you. She got there. She had a moment of doubt where you almost could have caught up to her. And then she didn't snake anything from under you. It's not like you were
Unless
ahead of her and she was like, "Oh wait, there's something over there. Look over there," and then ran ahead of you. She was ahead of you the whole time.
I'll play devil's advocate or Dave's advocate. Maybe we didn't see it and they had some agreement beforehand that they were going to be a little alliance and she'd let, I don't know, I don't know. And then she went back on it. Who knows?
I guess it's possible,
But
but
yes, it's a mission. Shields are up for grabs. No one owes
yeah.
anyone anything. Back to the manor, and we see some letters awaiting our traitors, Keanu and James. Dear traitors, you must gather in plain sight and agree on four faithful to receive a death sentence. For each of the four chosen faithful, create one short sentence using their name and one of the four following words. This is very Million Dollar Secret, actually, now that I think about it. They have to use
Yeah,
the
I
words.
just now, when you said death sentence, I just now got the pun. A death
Okay,
sentence, it's a
sentence, yeah.
sentence containing the word. Yeah,
I didn't
I
get that
totally,
either. You've
yeah.
just helped me figure it out. So that's
Just, it was very punny, New Zealand producers. A little
good.
too
Well
punny
done.
for us, even, although I
Okay.
was at the time watching it on a little tiny screen because I had no. Internet
Wi-Fi,
slash
yes.
powers.
The four words are poisoned, executed, stabbed, and crushed. Each word can only be used once. Which traitor or traitors deliver the sentence is up to you. Choose carefully. Your decision will shape the night. James is immediately worried. He, however, then what seems like very fairly quickly is in the kitchen with Dave,
Yeah.
and Dave says to him, "What's the word?" And James is like, just like the
Yeah.
what? And he just means like, what's happening? What's up? What's the
Yeah.
chat? And he then there's an emotional moment here. He talks about having a huge weight loss over the past few years, and that's why the mission made him feel particularly proud. And James uses this emotional moment to put him on death row. He says, "Dave, you crushed it." And I guess that was probably the easiest one to slip into a
Yeah.
sentence. I thought
Yeah,
that might
for those,
happen.
as soon as I heard the four words, I was like, okay, I can think of how to do crushed. I can think of how to do poisoned, which goes along with how they eventually did it. The other two, they were cleverer than I was in the moment, when I was
Yeah.
like,
Yeah.
executed. That's going to be a hard one to do, except I was only thinking of one meaning, and they, of course, go with a different meaning.
Yeah, he did well with that one. And yeah, stabbed, they kind of join on to another. They make it part of a
Yes.
longer word, but
Right.
I figured they might go with something like stabbed me in the back. Oh, someone was
Yeah.
stabbed in the back or whatever. So yes, we've got Dave. He leaves, leaving Keanu and James alone to quickly plot. Keanu wants James to use the word executed because he says, "Well, I would never use that
Yeah.
word." And James' plan is to go for Hannah. Keanu is going to go for Harrison. He's going to try and use stabbed in the word backstabbed. And we see him head off outside with Harrison. They go off for a private chat. Keanu says something here that I'm going to steal forever. I think he's either talking to Harrison or he's talking in confessional. He says, "It's nice to have a fellow LGBT qua member." And I just I'm going to always say LGBT qua from now on. And they have a chat. They talk about Jill, and here Keanu slips in the backstabbed reference. He says, "I don't want you to feel backstabbed by me." So, he's trying to say, "Oh, I don't want to vote for you. I don't want you to be blindsided if that's what I might do." Cut to James telling Hannah, "If anyone could have executed that, it would have been you." They're discussing tactics that they maybe should have employed in the mission today. So they've done really well, and Keanu reflects in confessional, saying he's very proud of himself and James, and their execution of the secret task. Oh, another little pun there. And fairly quickly, we're off to the round table. Again,
Yeah, and
it
I'm
maybe
like,
makes
wait,
sense.
Where's the poison one? What? They didn't do it. They didn't do the poison one.
Yeah.
And we'll find that out
Yeah.
momentarily.
It actually didn't occur to me that we hadn't seen the fourth one, so yeah, well done for keeping track. Yeah, we're at round table. I feel like coming into this round table, you said earlier maybe it was just a foregone conclusion. We haven't seen anyone discuss anyone but Harrison today. I had no idea who else was going to receive votes.
Chloe.
Maybe Aroha still. But I thought it seemed like it was pretty obvious what was going to happen here. And I've made a really silly note here, but I'm just going to read it anyway because I couldn't stop laughing at this. They come into the round table, they all sit down, and there's obviously cameras in the middle of the table that film them to get their reactions. And they always start, I think, with this sort of they pan around the players in a circle waiting for Madeline to arrive. And as I watch them waiting, I just thought, this is so hilarious comparing this to Traitors US. Now, obviously, Traitors US is celebrities, but in Traitors US, we've got tiaras, pearls, tartan, hats, giant brooches, sequins. In New Zealand, we get this sweep of the table. They look exhausted. Everyone is in a hoodie or a cardigan or just like a backwards cap. And they're just like, they just look like, oh my God, I'm exhausted.
No, it's Mount Horrible.
It's Mount Horrible has ruined them. I really need a side by side. Traitors US glam, Traitors New Zealand destroyed. Madeline arrives. The prize is $47,700. Discussion goes ahead. Harrison just begins, says he knows his name is out there. He knows he's going to get votes and asks the others, look, bring it to me, say what you need to say, hit me with it. And Chloe responds firstly, saying, well, you're just so composed, you're so put together, you don't ever seem particularly harassed and stressed. And Jill had her puppet master theory. She said it was just so weird that we can't ignore it. It just seems so strange. We don't know why Jill came up with that. And Harrison says, well, I didn't vote for Jill, so I wasn't attacking her, and I wasn't, she had no reason to come for me. I'm not a traitor who was getting out my fellow traitor. He says, I think she was just trying to think of any name to use as a distraction that day. I don't think there was any rhyme or
Yeah,
reason behind it.
and you know what? He nailed it. He got it absolutely right. Unfortunately, you don't get points for getting it right in this game.
We even see, or hear, I think, Debbie in voiceover saying she's worried about Harrison, but she can't defend him too much without risking exposure. A little bit of foreshadowing there, perhaps, of what Debbie is about to do. James speaks up here, and it took me a second to figure out what was happening.
Yes.
He says, I don't want this to be another case like the Brad situation, where I think he says, where I kind of bonded and poisoned the well. And I had to get a well-deserved telling off from Samantha. And I thought, what's he talking? Oh, poison
Yes.
the way. Okay. So he goes on to say that the players need to think about. He's trying to defend Harrison, I think. He's saying, well, doing a bit of both. He says, we have to think about the fact that Harrison just told us he didn't vote for Jill, so doesn't feel like it was traitor on traitor. But then again, if anyone could be capable of pulling this off, Harrison, you're very clever. It could be you, maybe you're a traitor. And Hannah asks him, well, suggest a name. Come on, who are you going for? All he has is Chloe, and even then, he's not that committed to it. And he just does the thing that most people do and say, look, if you vote me out, I'm just going to stand up and say I'm a faithful. And then maybe you'll look at Chloe after that. And I think he's kind of maybe like Jill, like I suggested, perhaps Jill had done. He realizes there's no way out and is defeated and doesn't have much fight.
The thing to me is, even when he gives that weak sauce answer about, well, maybe Chloe, Violette is like, I'll go with that. It's like, he gave you nothing. He gave you literally nothing. And you're like, okay, I'm going to jump on board with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
So.
weird. She sort of admits, yeah, there probably is a traitor in her little group, but I'm gonna trust Harrison and Chloe. Maybe it's you that's the traitor. And I guess we did have that moment in the mission where we saw Harrison and Violette climbing up the hill together and talking. I guess they just must be really close. They've just obviously got on well. They're good pals. So Violette's just trying to back up her friend. Maria begins to talk about this clique, this group, although Chloe interrupts and she's saying, no, I can separate friendships from the game. This group doesn't matter to me. I could vote for someone in my own friendship group. And Maria quickly gets a chance to finish and she's saying, I think, yeah, there probably is a traitor in your group. But Madeline arrives, interrupts the discussion. I noticed that in the edit, anyway, Keanu has been very quiet at this round table, hasn't we've not seen him speak up. Maybe he did, and we just didn't see it. But I thought, maybe he needs to be careful not to resort to just being a silent player. Because he's been doing pretty well so far in speaking up at times and, trying to play that middle game. And so as we're about to vote, I again just assume Harrison is done for tonight. I can't see it going any other way. Maruya does begin with a different vote. She votes for Dave. She voted for Dave yesterday. I think it's all because of the gold stamp and that's the stamp mission that's still on her mind. Violette votes for Chloe, like she said she was going to do. And the Harrison votes begin from here. Chloe votes for Harrison, but she's crying and she's saying, no, I love you. You're my friend. I really have gotten to know you well. Harrison is next, votes for Chloe. And again, they can sort of just laugh about it, which is, I like to see that. I like to see that they can, not take it incredibly personally. And then it's Keanu. And this really got to me as well. He's sobbing about Harrison being the only other gay person here. And I think it is not, and I know he's a traitor and he's acting and he's lying. I think he has been really genuinely
I think so too,
upset.
especially since it continues into after, even when he's with James later. I think it is legit. I do think it's very funny that he spent all that time insisting, I am not going to pile on. I have my own thoughts. And then he joined everybody else in piling on.
He did, yeah. Maybe this time he thought it's going to look really weird if I don't vote for Harrison. I'm going to have to do it this time. And they're holding hands while he votes for Harrison. It's tough to watch. And Maria, James both vote for Harrison. Dave votes for Chloe, says he wants to support his mate Harrison. I think that's what he's doing. Aaron and Aroha both vote for Harrison. And it's at that moment when Aroha votes, I thought, wow, where did all the votes for her go? She was received quite a lot yesterday, had a lot of attention. It's just all turned to Harrison today. No one's talking about Aroha that much. One more vote for Harrison and he's gone. And it's Debbie who is next, and I kind of think I know what's going to happen. She looks like she's upset. This is really tough. And she votes for him. She votes for her son. There's a shot of him looking totally shocked, and it could be taken out of context. I actually don't think it is. I kind of think it probably was, because I think, well, who else would he have? Why else would he have reacted like that at this round table? I don't know. So I think maybe he really did get a shock. And so he's going, but Sam and Hannah also vote for him too. He stands up for his banishment speech. He's very emotional and says, thank you for letting me live out my dream of being in this game. Some of it's been terrifying. Most of it's been amazing. I've really enjoyed my time here as a faithful. And off he goes. Debbie is devastated. She's in her confessional, very upset. Chloe can't believe she got it so wrong. They're all really upset about this one. It feels, obviously they get banishments wrong all the time. They vote out faithful. It feels worse because they obviously clearly all really liked Harrison. It's quite obvious he was a nice guy and they all got on and they just feel terribly guilty. How foolish of them. And Keanu even just gets up and leaves. And James follows on behind.
So this is what I was talking about at the beginning when you said, Jill didn't have the social capital. Harrison had all the social capital in the world, and he still couldn't get away from Jill naming him. So again, it goes back to I don't think Jill could have done anything, or
Yeah.
I don't know that anyone could have done anything in that situation.
I think so. As they paid off around the manor, they're all in tears. It's really emotional. And James is at this is a really sweet moment. He comes to Keanu and holds his hand, and he really tries to give him a pep talk and says, "You know, I feel like such an amateur. I'm so glad that I get to do this with you." He's really bigging him up, and it's this is the crying episode. I'm calling this the crying episode. And while they're having these little whispered back and forths, they realize that there's a problem. Keanu said
Yes.
stabbed to Harrison, but Harrison's gone now, so they need to do it again. I wonder if they've been told that in advance. Like, they seem to very quickly realize this is a problem.
They
Like, I
must
think
have, yeah.
James says, oh, we're gonna have to get, like, so they must have been told if you do it to someone who ends up banished, you have to keep going. So Keanu in confessional, still crying, says, "I know what I have to do because I'm a bad bitch." And we cut to him in the castle, grabbing Chloe for a hug. Uh-oh, something bad's gonna happen to Chloe. They go off for a private chat, and he uses the same. He re references the same
Yeah.
conversation. He says, "Oh, you were there when I told Harrison I didn't want him to feel backstabbed." Thing is, Chloe wasn't there when we saw him say that, so I wonder if he said it a couple of times, or if he's just making it up, and Chloe's just like, "Oh yeah, sure, I
Yeah.
was," and she wasn't there. Anyway, this means that we are now ready for the death match. The four death sentence candidates receive their letters. So it's Dave, Chloe, Hannah, Sam. And I realize, yes, we've seen this before in another season internationally. I know how this is going to play out, I think.
Was this UK? Was this
Yes. Yeah, they did it in
UK and it
UK.
ended with Linda making some sort of snarky remark?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Which makes me think, if they did it in UK, did they also do it in US? Because they usually have the same missions, but actually I don't remember it in US. Maybe
Don't
they
remember
did.
it in US
Maybe.
either. So either they did it and it was less memorable.
Yeah,
I
maybe
feel
that
like
was it.
they didn't do it in US.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think they did. So yes, they're reading the letter which describes a death match, and Dave echoes all of our thoughts by saying, "Death match? What's a death match?"
Yeah.
And we then arrive in the woods to a little table with four chairs, and here's where, like, really where I thought, okay, yes, it is what I thought it could be. It's from this certain UK season 3. The players that was on TV a couple of years ago, don't complain to me that I spoiled it for you, right? The
I mean,
players
what did we spoil?
arrive.
We just said it was there, and Linda says something snarky.
Yeah, nothing
But
else, nothing
Linda said
else.
lots of snarky things. So what did
Right.
she say? God, it was such a great line, too, and now I can't
She
remember it.
said, "Get over it."
Oh, that was
Because
it.
the murdered player was
Yes.
not happy. Get over it. The players arrive one by one then. And still emotions are running high because Sam sits down and is crying before anything has even happened. These players are really affected by this game. They, which is not, I'm not criticizing them, I'm just commenting. It's evident. They sit in silence. Apparently it's freezing, it's creepy, it's scary. There's noises in the woods. Madeline arrives and explains what's going on. They've been selected by the traitors and they're going to play a card game. She deals them two cards each. They look at their hand. Seven cards, so there are eight cards here. Seven are death cards, one is a life card with a sun on it. They have to all swap with one other player. The chooser gets their pick of which one to take. They're going to play three rounds. The player with a life card at the end of each round survives. When it gets down to final two, the player without a life card will be murdered. And I'm going to clarify something here because I'm 99% sure someone will say this maybe on YouTube or send us an email. So I'm going to anticipate it. I reckon someone is going to suggest, "Hang on a minute. A traitor couldn't play this game. You can't play it. They couldn't possibly be a traitor in this. It must be all faithful if one of them is going to end up murdered." However, I feel that's not true. I think a traitor could very well still be in the four and play this game as far as the faithful are concerned. Because they could just survive the first round or the second round. Even if a traitor gets down to the final two, The other two players have left. They've gone back to the castle. They don't get to see what happens afterwards. So I think if it ends up with a traitor and a faithful, Madeline just would step in and reveal to the faithful, you don't even need to play the game. You're already dead, and here's why. And the traitor just will reveal the truth. So I think a traitor could well be in this game.
It's not even the YouTube commenters. I was going to say that
Oh,
because I
right.
hadn't thought of that. I now that you mention it, I remember us discussing it back in
Yeah.
when it happened in UK. But apparently,
Yeah.
when I wrote my notes for this and was thinking about it at the time, I had forgotten that part. But yes, you are right that I mean, we don't know. I do want to say
No.
we don't know what would happen. We presume that is what would happen.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
yes, if you are a faithful, then I think you also have to presume that is what would happen, which is
Yeah.
going to change some of what I was going to predict and say at the end.
I
But yes.
mean, in this particular episode, in this particular game, a traitor couldn't be there because their task was to say a sentence to four faithful. But the faithful don't know that. So we know that as
Right,
viewers, the traitors know
right.
that. I don't think they're going to be told tomorrow. Here's how it happened.
Right,
They'll
no, of
just be
course not.
told they were chosen by the traitors and no more.
Yeah,
So,
they were chosen in plain sight by the traitors.
yeah.
And no one will have
So,
any idea how.
right. Round one, Chloe begins, immediately chooses Hannah's life card. Hannah and Dave swap, Dave and Sam swap. Sam swaps with Chloe, chooses her death card. And. She has a mom. It's kind of like the mission earlier, with Maria saying, "Oh, maybe I should help out Dave," because Chloe says, "Oh, I wish I could save Sam and not myself." And I thought these players are very self-sacrificing. No,
Yeah.
Chloe, save yourself. Don't think that way. The round's over. Reveal their cards. Chloe's safe. She's crying as well. She leaves. She's off back to the castle. Round two, Hannah starts with a life card again by total chance. Swaps a death card with Dave. Dave swaps a death card with Sam. Sam swaps a death card with Hannah. Reveal, Hannah's safe. She's still got her life card. She's crying. She goes off. And round three is now just Sam and Dave face to face. And this time it's a little different. So Madeline lays out all eight cards face down, and they are just going to take turns of choosing. Whoever finds the life card survives. Madeline leaves them to do this alone, and as I was thinking, how do they decide who goes first? Dave just says, "Ladies first." And the episode ends. I would be thinking, not ladies first, me first. I want to go first. Dave, you're too kind. So we might talk. I mean, there's kind of no point in predicting, maybe, I guess, because it's not like a murder where there's any re reason behind who
Oh,
leaves here.
I based on the confessionals, I think Dave is
Oh.
toast. Simply
Oh,
based
okay.
on the confessionals. Now,
Okay.
they did trick us some in some of the confessionals. I think it was it this episode or last episode where they had someone who looked like they were crying, and to me
Yes,
it
it
looked like it
was
was
Brad.
afterwards.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about the one when Brad left, when it
Oh.
did. I'm saying
Oh,
they
I think
tricked us that they.
it was Aroha that was crying,
Right. Yes, that was it.
I also thought at the time, I think they want us to think she's been banished, but she hasn't. She's just
Yes.
glad to be in the game. Yeah.
Yeah, so they did shake things up a little bit by, doing that. But in this case, I just based on the confessionals, I think Dave is toast. Plus, all of the emphasis on Dave needs a shield, Dave needs a shield,
Yeah.
Dave needs a shield. I think it'll just all come back and people will be like, see, we told you he needed a shield.
That's a good point. I was just thinking, yeah, like we can't predict the outcome of a game that works by chance, but
Right.
yes, maybe there were clues in the editing about what's coming. Yeah, Maria wondering whether she should give him a shield and so on. Yeah.
Right.
I'm happy to go with that as a prediction too. Yeah, that makes sense. Before we talk about maybe final thoughts on this episode, and you have a listener question, David, I sort of skipped your formal intro at the start, but tell us a little bit more about what you do online and where we can find you and what you're covering.
Yes, if you've listened to this whole podcast and you still don't know me, good, because now you've gotten to know me. But I have been covering reality TV for 26 years, including over 10 years on podcasts and online newspaper columns, my own websites, and I still also post reality TV videos on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. And so when we talk about that, well, I'm doing that now. I'm all over in terms of social media and podcasting. Of course, I'll be right back here a couple more times for the Traders New Zealand, and then as the summer goes on for Australia and India, whenever they finally decide to announce that. And Big Brother begins in under a month. I will be on RHAP talking about why each player loses. And like I said, I've got those videos on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram, where I am at David Bloomberg TV. I have it's obviously being in a slower time frame, fewer videos, but that just means you can keep up with them more easily. And some of them are for Traders New Zealand, as well as some Survivor flashbacks, some ongoing like news items and things like that. So you could find all my sites or all my accounts, if you don't want to go directly to them, at Linktree/David Bloomberg.
And that Linktree address is in the episode notes, so you can find it super easily. As for the podcast, we are on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at the TradeHour Podcast. And I post traders updates and videos with, extra chat from me about the show and about what's coming up and maybe other shows beyond the traders we may cover at some point. It's like Million Dollar Secret, which I mentioned earlier. Of course, on all of those places, you can put comments or send me DMs. Tell me what you want us to talk about on the podcast. You can do that by email too. My email address is thetradehourpodcast@gmail.com. Super easy to remember. You could leave a voice note at memo.fm/thetradehourpodcast. We've had a few voice notes this season so far. And a few more exciting things to tell you about. Firstly, a reminder, I'm running some online traders games. I'm hosting them. I am inviting you to my virtual castle. Next one is on Saturday, the 27th of June. And then there is one further beyond that in August, the 23rd of August. That's a Sunday. And it's very early UK time, very, very early US time. But normal sort of evening time if you're in Australia and New Zealand, and tickets have started to sell already for that, which is great. Thank you, people who bought tickets. The links for all that, as always, episode description. Check out social media, you'll see it in the bio, or send me a message if you're not sure how to get tickets. You can support the podcast in a couple of ways. You could visit thetradar.redbubble.com, where there is all sorts of cool merch, and David has some of that merch right now. If you're on YouTube, I'm wearing a t-shirt here that I got from Redbubble. Someone in Australia just bought a t-shirt I noticed the other day. Thank you very much. And you can also send a donation if you feel like it on ko-fi.com to support the podcast. That's ko-fi.com/Matthew Keeley. An anonymous contributor sent in a donation a couple of days ago. So thank you, anonymous person. That's very kind of you. Two other podcasts I'm going to mention. One is a film podcast called Not That Oscar, Not That Oscar Podcast. I was a guest on there. We did a movie review for the first half of 2026, talking about our favorite films in different genre, our biggest disappointments of the year, what we're most looking forward to in the second half of the year. So if you're a film buff, Oscar's a great host. He is a movie buff. He knows so much about everything that is happening in current cinema right now. He was just at the Cannes Film Festival, so he's been talking about that on his podcast. He's got a big following on TikTok. So, Not That Oscar Podcast. I highly recommend it. And I have a new podcast that is beginning. David mentioned it earlier. It's called A Word After School. It's an interview podcast series. I'm reconnecting with some students I taught years ago when I was an English teacher. Now that they are grown up, living their lives in the world, I'm finding out what they're up to and also asking them about their memories of high school and what they wish they could have said to one of their teachers, but and now they can say it because they're a little bit older. I'm going to put another little preview of one of the forthcoming episodes at the end of this. A funny little story from one of my interviewees. Like David said, it will be a Scottish person. So do your best. I think you'll be okay. Hopefully, we'll see. So there you go. A word after school, a little preview at the end. And if you want to listen to that podcast, it's going to launch this week. I'm very excited about it. Okay, David, you have a question from a listener.
Well, first, I don't know what order, but we didn't talk about the preview. So
Oh,
I,
yes.
we should at least mention, Violette still thinks Chloe is a traitor, which my first thought was, well, that makes no sense, but you've convinced me it does. And then James says something to Debbie about not deserving to be there, and Debbie suggests he was retaliating because he's been found out. So,
Yeah. Yeah, there's a
okay.
hint that James is in
In
trouble
trouble.
somehow.
So, listener, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm sort of becoming wary of the New Zealand previews because a couple of times in this season there've been semi spoilers about maybe who doesn't get murdered. So I feel like I don't want to watch them from now on. We'll see. David, your question.
Yes, so this is from Angel Capel, asked on one of my YouTube videos, do you think it's ever possible for someone to come in late and win? Seems impossible. If the traitors don't kill you and you avoid banishment, you end up like Alexander in UK3. Oops, spoiler for Alexander in UK3. You don't have the bonds, so they just can't take the risk. My thought is, I do think it's possible, but it's more difficult. It has to happen a certain way. Michael only missed a couple days, and so he could have made that up if he had lasted long enough. But the way he came in made it seem pretty obvious to everyone that he was a faithful, which came back to bite him. And it really brings me back to disliking this whole twist. I hated it when it seemed like they took him out before the game began. I was somewhat better with it when he returned, and now I'm back to completely hating it because the way it was executed really poisoned the traitors against him, and they were itching to backstab him, causing him to be crushed that he was eliminated.
I think I've just been put on death row four times there. Wow. I agree that it's, of course, it's possible, but it's a tricky job. And I also think they should just stop doing this. I don't really know what it adds to the game anymore. I think we've seen it enough times that it's not a surprise. I'm pretty sure that in an international, non-English speaking season, a player who was sort of fake eliminated and came back did go on and win the game because I think this has come up on the podcast before, and either Magicka, a regular co-host who watches lots and lots of international seasons, or an observant listener with a good memory sent in a message. So this is ringing a bell. I think it has happened somewhere in the world. So possible, but yeah, it's. I mean, of course, what could Michael could have come back in and been recruited, and that could have served him really well because no one think. I mean, eventually they might have started to ask, "Why haven't you been murdered yet?" But it could have helped him out. I think
I mean,
we didn't see.
Boston Rob came in as a traitor. He was
Yeah.
rejected at the front and at the start, which, and then came in as a traitor. That was a little different because he came in with a couple other people at the same time. So, and we don't know what was said. This was something that was cut. We talked about this at the time. We
Yeah.
don't know what the players were told. But in the cars, everybody seemed pretty sure that he was a faithful, like right
Yeah.
off the bat.
Yeah.
So that makes it very difficult for Michael.
Although I'll have two thoughts about that. Firstly, yes, I was thinking the same thing that usually there's in the included in the episode is a clip of the host saying to the players, this person who's come back could be a traitor or a faithful, and I'm not going to tell you. We didn't see Madeline say that, so I don't know if she did say it. I've got a feeling she did say it, but the reason that they all assume that Michael is a faithful is because they mistakenly have thought there were four traitors from the start. So because of this little box twist where Brad got the option to choose to be a traitor at the end of the day. The players all seem to have assumed there were three chosen at this traitor selection at the round table and a fourth person. So all I and I, one of the players even said that in this episode or last episode, something about, well, surely there's not five. I don't think they would have, they
Right.
couldn't be five and then four. So I think that's influenced what they thought of Michael, that they just assumed they're not going to make a fifth traitor. So yeah, I think that's affected how they saw Michael, and they've
Yeah.
assumed he's a fifth.
And that's part of the whole situation that I'm talking about, is taking him out, putting him back in, the way they put him back in, having him give money, all that, along with the situation you're talking about, where the players already were under a self-imposed misinterpretation, but it's self-imposed because of what the game has done prior to this point.
David, any other final thoughts about this episode or episode five and six?
Yeah, I mean, the string of banishments caused by Brad's actions continued, like we talked about. He knocked himself out. Then he caused Jill to get banished. And in fighting for her life, Jill caused Harrison to get knocked out. It's like, Brad, see what you've done. All because you just couldn't stick with your fellow traitors. Brad could at least say, whew, I had an impact on this game. I may have been out early, but I had an impact. And he certainly did.
Yes.
Looking ahead for predictions, like I said, I was originally thinking, oh, Chloe will be exonerated. But no, it does not look like Chloe is at all exonerated with the reasons that you gave. I think that I'm probably going to have to predict that she goes, because it's a combination of all the emotional moment we got this episode, like we talked about, plus her being the only name that was out there when Harrison was taken out, her pushing for Harrison, Violette being on some sort of mission to target Chloe. I know that the preview makes it sound like it could be James, but I just doubt that. I don't think Debbie has the social capital at all to make that happen. So I think that Chloe is next.
I definitely see her in trouble, if not the next episode, at some point, for those very reasons. I don't have many more predictions beyond that, other than that, yes, maybe the preview was tricking us a little into thinking oh, a traitor's in trouble, and maybe he's just not really at all. Overall thoughts for me are simply that Keanu and James. Now, I doubted that, when James was brought on board, I said on the podcast, when Keanu says to James, "Hey, I think we could be a great team," I didn't really buy it, and I thought Keanu will be quite happy to also backstab James. But because they had this little bonding moment in this episode,
Yeah.
and Keanu got so upset, I thought, well, maybe they actually are gonna work really well together, and maybe both of them are gonna go really far in this season. I mean, it's too early probably to predict an overall outcome, but I think they're doing well so far. I think Keanu is doing a pretty good job, so
Yes.
I feel like he is safe for the time being. I'll be back next week to cover episodes 7 and 8 with a returning co-host. And David, you'll be back with me as well, of course, because people have figured out there's a pattern. David does every second episode. Very much looking forward to it. Until then, laters, traitors.
And stay traitorous.
My first award I want you to issue is for most epic teacher moment. This could be something weird or funny or outrageous or particularly memorable that a teacher once did that is stuck in your mind.
I had a teacher in primary school once who was a religious education teacher, and she did talk a lot about not harming the Bible and all of this. But I remember one time somebody was talking in class, and she came and slammed the Bible on the table and screamed at them for talking. And I just thought, well, That's is that harming the Bible? I don't I don't know. Another one is no, I won't linger too long on the one person, but the art teacher who I had at high school cut my drawing in half once to fit it onto a page out of convenience. She didn't ask me. She cut it in half.
Oh my
And I thought
goodness.
it was particularly nice. I had a nice little drawing of a fish, and then I had a drawing of half a fish and another drawing of half a fish.
Wow.
But
Okay.
I was wondering whether to say that for this because it wasn't so epic as it was memorably surprising.
Okay. Most traumatic teacher moment, perhaps. Okay.
Yeah.
That's. I'm sorry that happened to your fish. That's awful. Is there anything on the more positive end of the spectrum about school, your experience, something you learned in a subject that actually you think, I'm really glad I did that. I think that's benefited me. It's been useful in life. I'm grateful for it.
As in something I've learned, or just generally an
Anything
experience.
at all. Anything.
Well, I chose geography as a subject in high school, which I don't think I ever really wanted to do it post school, but I was vaguely interested in that compared with the other options. And I remember going into the class and not knowing anyone in the class, and there was some boy sitting on a chair, and there was a seat next to him, and I said, "Oh, please, do you mind if I sit here? Is that okay?" And he said, "Yes," and we are still best friends to this day. And in fact, I live with him now. So that is something that was very positive about my experience. I remember geography being a very silly time for both of us because we spent most classes just diddling things in the back of our josses and laughing, and the teacher knew, but I don't think she really cared enough to separate us.